Good morning. It's 11:30, so I'm going to call our airport authority meeting to order. First, I'd like to make sure that we have quorum, and it looks like we've got Dan Meyer, a new commissioner, joining us today, and Clint Shear, Chris West, myself, Lee Kleinman, and Cody Kennedy, in person. Cody Davis will not be making it today. Before we kick off, I think I'd just like to spend one moment introducing ourselves to Dan Meyer as our newest commissioner. This is his first commission meeting in person. If you guys wouldn't mind just going around the table here at this and just introducing yourself.
Just 1 second, I'm sorry.
Yeah, do we have a volume?
Audio is not
connecting. Okay, great. Thank you, Sarah. I should have asked that.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press *6. To unmute. You are unmuted.
Wonderful. Can you all hear me online? Thumbs up from anyone?
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin. We can hear you too. Okay, this is Lindy Marsha. I'm just going to start over. We're going to call our meeting to order today on August 19th. We have a new commissioner here with us in person, Dan Meyer. Welcome to the commission. We have quorum today. Cody Davis will not be joining us. But we were just stating that we'll go around the table today since we have a new commissioner and introduce ourselves so that Dan knows who he gets to work with and volunteer with.
Thank you.
Hey, Dan. I am Dylan Heberle. I'm the Director of Operations here for the airport.
Great.
Sarah McKee, Director of Finance and Administration.
Victoria Hightower, HR Manager of Board Clerk.
Quint Shear, Shear Inc.
Chris West, you know, Jordan. Yep.
Chris West is also the Vice Chair. Dan, Lindy Marshall, it's good to see you.
I'm Lee Kleinman, I'm a county appointee.
Nice to meet you, Lee.
We've been on my name.
Cody Kennedy, Mayor.
Good to see you, Cody. Yep.
Angela Palicki, CEO.
Hi, Dan.
Good to see you, Ben.
Thank you all. And we have a full house today, and I'll get a chance to introduce our folks from Westar here in a moment. But we have, Cameron, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, Cameron Reese, Terminal Operations Manager.
Jennifer Kroger, Finance Manager.
Charles Portner, Finance Specialist.
Christina Warren, Office Coordinator.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it so much. You'll get a chance to work with all these amazing folks quite a bit. And they do a heavy lift to make our job easy and fun. Let's go ahead and start with our Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll talk to the next meeting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so we have a full agenda today, so if I could get a motion to approve the agenda as it stands, that would be great.
I say move.
Perfect. Thank you, Commissioner Kleinman.
Second it.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Perfect. The motion carries. So next we have commissioner comments. Anyone would like to say anything?
A quick comment on yesterday's press conference for the grant, for receiving grant funds. And it's certainly great to have Congressman Jeff Kirk here and really dope and deliver that himself. So it's nice having him as an advocate for us and to really recognize all the hard work that's been done. And I think everybody did a good job of recognizing all the work that's been done by staff to make this a reality. That's really, really lovely.
Yeah. Commissioner Kleinman, were you going to say something to that?
I'm just going to agree with every one of us.
The background entertainment was good, too.
I like
all the activity going on over on the BLM pad.
I feel like our friend Tommy from BLM timed it perfectly. We had a BLM flight for some of that firefighting. You happened right behind the congressman as he was speaking, announcing that grant award. It was pretty neat. But yeah, that was neat to have him on the tarmac getting to celebrate that $12.5 million grant. So thank you for all of your work. That's not a small lift. And also just continuing to put us in a position where we can say yes and put those grants to work right away is a big deal. So thank you for that. Any other commissioner comments? I have a few. You see these notes? I have quite a few. So we get the honor of recognizing our FBO partners today, and we're so glad you all could be here, Westar. So we have Scott Sweeney, the general manager, who joined us yesterday at that grant announcement. We've got Teresa Garner, the GM. Teresa, good to see you. Shelby and Jesse, who are rock stars in the landing operation, but also I've had the opportunity to personally interact with you guys, and we thank you for all you do. So the reason why we asked you to come here, because it's the busiest summer ever for fuel with diversions and fire activity. In fact, over gallons of fuel has been sold and retardant pumped so far. And we're just sitting right now in early August. So Westar has sold over 700,000 gallons of fuel in July, smashing a prior record, which was set in June at 560,000 gallons. Just astronomical growth. And August remains extremely busy, as we saw yesterday during our announcement. So we've already passed our annual record for diversions. In 2019, we had a record year of 392, and we hit that in July. So thanks for your support in that. And we've had more summer diversions than winter diversions for the first time ever. And those are the big planes from Denver with that added level of complexity. So you guys have done a phenomenal job. We just appreciate you. And having an FBO like you, you know, allows us to operate at the next level. We get to, you know, have military come here. You guys are just a phenomenal partner at every level. So we wanted to recognize you. Would you like to say anything, Scott, or your team members?
I would just like to say it's really nice from our end. We appreciate it for the work that Teresa, Shelley, and Jesse and their team, about 20 folks that support that operation. For me, you guys, thanks as well. It's been a hell of a month, and the hearts are shaking up to as well. So it's really nice to be appreciated when our partners here at the airport. So thank you.
Thank you, guys, very much. And of course, I'll forever be friends with Jesse because of the groundbreaking. He offered me a cronut. My wedding.
First cronut.
First ever. Thank you all very much. I also get the opportunity to recognize Tommy and the BLM, so it's fun to get to see you yesterday and celebrate that grant together. Tommy mentioned yesterday at that event that they've pumped over 1.5 million gallons of fire retardant. That's just, again, huge. And then they're beginning construction on a new air tanker building that we approved, I think it was maybe now two meetings ago. And that's on track to have the facility open for the 2026 fire season.
That's right.
Grateful for your partnership and to have you close by. And yeah, would you like to say anything, Tommy? We just wanted to recognize you.
No, I just thanks to everybody for all the support. You know, not one of us can do this alone, and it takes a lot of people behind the scenes making this stuff happen. And we just want to recognize you all as well. That we're grateful for all the support you've been giving us. So.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here. Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for being here because your activity at this airport enables us to be a much bigger airport, which serves this community in ways that we could never do if your activity wasn't here. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner comments to that end? We really appreciate our partnership. Excited for all the great things that are happening. I know you guys have been working hard. Hope it calms down a little, but we appreciate your support and all this record-breaking work. Then we also have some board committee confirmations. As the chair, I have the privilege of appointing our board members to serve, and we're just grateful for all of your additional volunteer work. So Chris West and I make up the executive committee as chair and vice chair, so there'll be no changes to that one at all. We also have our finance and audit committee. Lee has served on that committee for the past 2 years now, is that right? Thank you for your service on that. Dan Myers joining the board, he was a volunteer on that committee, so he has agreed to bump up in his commission capacity to serve in that committee. Thank you for that, and Chris West will remain on that. I have asked Lee to join me on Visioning, which is our third committee right now, and the Visioning Committee is our terminal expansion. We talked about the runway, the parking expansion, and I'm grateful for you as Thaddeus has stepped off the board that you would join me. I also get to ask or beg some of our community members to join these boards. And so I've asked Thaddeus to remain on that while in his community capacity, so he'll stick on the Visioning Committee. And then Tom Benton, our previous chair, will be serving on Finance and Audit Committee for us as a volunteer in the community. So nothing new to report. I just wanted to formalize that in our board meeting so that we were all on the same page there. I think that concludes commissioner comments, the beefy section. Anything else on commissioners' ends? Okay. Do we have any citizen comments today?
I didn't receive any citizen.
Okay, wonderful. All right, then we get to move into consent agenda. And if we don't have any changes to that, I just need a motion to approve the consent agenda as it stands.
Move to approve the consent.
Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it so much. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Perfect, we have a motion on the table. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Perfect, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Wonderful, consent agenda is approved. And on to action, and we have a full action agenda as well. The first item is our ground lease with BLM for the Dispatch Center. And Tommy, I'm assuming that you'll get to speak with us about that a little today, but am I correct?
Yes, I was going to kick it off and then hand it over to Tommy to discuss. This is something we've been working on for a long time. Tommy's eyes really let everything you need to know. We're excited to be here to ask you to approve this ground lease. So this space, it currently exists inside our fence line, but the facility doesn't need to be inside the fence. It supports the aviation activity, but it's considered non-aeronautical use. And so we'll actually be relocating the fence line to sit essentially behind the building. The building will become part of the fence line, but we will be relocating that fence line. So just wanted to get those logistics out of the way and really paint a picture for you. And I'll turn it over to Tommy so you can talk about what your plans are.
Sure. So as Angela said, this has been in the works now for since 2018, essentially. So at a state level, we did what we call a dispatch consolidation review, looking at the efficiencies of dispatch centers across the country. We have currently six in Colorado, and part of this survey that we sent out to try to help with recruitment and retention on dispatching staff was, where do you want to live? What locations are you targeting? These types of things. And between the three dispatch centers, going from six to three, Grand Junction was one, Fort Collins was the other one, Colorado Springs or Pueblo was the third one. So what that means is Durango Dispatch will be moving to Grand Junction, and then Montrose Dispatch will also be moving to Grand Junction into one big consolidated center. What that means is our existing dispatch center that we have at the Gephardt building over off the ramp is no longer going to be sufficient in size to be able to support this. So we're looking at a staff of about 20 to 25 permanent full-time dispatchers, which will really help focus on alleviating the burdens that we have on these small centers with very few staffing, where we can start to get a little better work-life balance. And that's a big key to all of this, is trying to balance some of these people's workloads, because we have stretched them to the limit spectrally. We also have the state, DFPC, is now contributing four specific positions to our dispatch centers to help with mobilization of county resources and some of the other fire trucks that help assist us on federal fire. So it's a team effort in terms of what these centers are going to look like in the future. But for us specifically, we wanted to keep it kind of close. You know, we basically having the relationship that we've had with the airport here. I think you guys understand our overall mission better than most people ever would. And keeping them close where they still have a visible eye to the flight line for our aircraft-specific dispatchers is really important to us. So a lot of centers don't have the luxury that we've had. Being able to be right on the ramp, being able to coordinate with pilots and people coming in and out has been super beneficial. So this is definitely a long-term plan of trying to secure the specific funds for this building is the biggest next phase of all of this. There's some discussions about trying to figure out options of do we keep people here, just keep them kind of at bay at the existing centers until we can secure all the funding for the new construction, or if we just start evaluating different alternatives to how we potentially may construct. As Andrew said, the having the TSA fence move back would create, it would significantly help out with some of our logistical challenges that we've had. Staying compliant with me wearing my badge all the time is a big one, and I've been dead set on keeping this on all year long. But
good job.
We have so much migrant traffic coming in at nighttime, especially because we usually run a 24-hour dispatch center. We're giving us some more flexibility where, as we bring in people from out of area to help staff our center, we don't have to have the escorts right there with them.
Yeah, in line of sight at all times.
Yes.
Just for context, yesterday where we were at for the grant announcement with Congressman Hurd. It was very, very close to where this dispatch facility will be. So if you take Landing View Lane to Gate 28, where you see the big twin otter, it's just right outside of the gate, which makes a lot of sense. You know, seems like a simple, very logistically smart move to make to help you guys, support you.
And we are here to answer any questions that he's had throughout the evolution of this, and I talk on a weekly basis already. So I check in with us to see where we're at on things, where she's bringing us ice cream and stuff like that.
We gotta keep our community partners happy.
We want to be good partners in all of this, and we want to, you know, I'm very nitpicky on the look and feel of what this center and this whole site is going to be. I think I have, federally sometimes it's hard to push back on some of our contracts with the look and feel of where our buildings ultimately are, but I've had a lot of discretion in terms of making sure we're consistent with themes. I want the buildings to blend in with the landscape nicely. I think that the existing Yale Park building that we have there that we built in 2006 was kind of modern for its time in 2006, and I'm going to stick with that theme. A nice glass look where people are happy to come to work every single day, and that would be the exact same type of push that we'll make on the new dispatch center. I have some of the rough plans. I don't know if you want me to send out these old ones.
We're probably okay waiting.
Okay.
So I wanted the board to understand a couple things. So first, these BLM leases are weird. So you're used to seeing a pretty standard form for ground leases coming to you. You know, given that this is actually a joint BLM, Forest Service, you know, two-for-one federal government ground lease, using fire money, you know, we're kind of checking a lot of strange boxes in the federal government. We have to use their form.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see is a form that looks very similar to the form that you previously approved to amend and extend their existing ground lease for aeronautics use. This is in a really early stage when it comes to development. Much of that is just because, kind of like how we planned the runway project, and we started that in the early 2000s, it takes a long time for their capital plan to mature. And so, you know, initially they expect to have temporary structures there. They'll still have to be approved by the airport. We'll make sure they look good. But they have to kind of wait for their turn to have capital funding to build a permanent infrastructure. So I don't know if you want to speak to that a little bit about kind of what you envision. But what I want the board to know is in the lease, it talks about a lot of stuff and there's not a lot of pictures. We're going to be coming back to you as this lease gets properly filled out, if you will, where we'll have design drawings in there, and we'll have plans, and you know, rates and numbers will adjust accordingly too as the airport makes investments on things like utilities, which would make sense in that location for us to take on. It's better for them, it's better for us. You know, that represents the end of Landing View Lane right now, but it's the middle when you look on our long-term planning. So we want to make sure utilities are sized appropriately in that corridor, just using that. So we will be back to talk more about this in the future, but they need to secure the ground lease so that they can get going and getting their employees here.
Yeah, we need to get the ground lease started so that we can start looking forward on some of the temporary potential options that we're going to have there. You know, we've had dispatchers waiting for this to happen, so their lives are revolving around the time whenever we finally pull the trigger to say, it's time to move to Grand Junction, which life doesn't work like that. It's already been 3 years kind of them on a waiting game of these things, so we're trying to keep them in their positions now, saying, please don't quit. It's going to happen at some point in time, but don't quit yet. We're trying to give some of these specific positions a little bit of incentive of money to stay within their existing positions so that they just don't up in all the work that's being done in these existing centers, because we cannot take it on with the existing footprint that we have. And I've been fairly firm saying, I can't take it on until we have the staff to support it, and to get the staff to support, it's going to take the space to build the animal. Yeah,
dominoes.
Ish, absolutely dominoes. Mm-hmm. So, but then there's the mechanics of all the little things too, in terms of the fence stuff and all those things that we'll have to start working through, and that's where I think this lease kind of gives us some flexibility in terms of how that happens as the money starts to come in and to support it.
You expect it to be modular initially, is that right?
There's some pretty nice modulars out there right now, and but yeah, that would probably be what our initial intent is. So we would probably start with like this thing here really quick. It would probably start with the modular construction being on the east side of this pad, so it would probably be over here while we start developing and planning for the full-time permanent structure over here.
Okay. tell our attorney that.
We will. Well, I think it would be the existing old lane, view lane that
yeah.
we had. That would be the perimeter fence road that would go through that old gate that we have there, and continue on and across. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so the fence will essentially be replaced by the leasehold.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that means relocating some of the fence, having buildings, long-term buildings will replace much of the fencing, but initially it'll probably be fence relocation for the most part.
Yeah.
We think it's highest and best use of that space, just given the proximity. It's so nice for them to be able to collaborate together.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, right? There's a fence between you. So,
there,
as much as you want.
So, oh, someone.
have a nice fitness area to building.
So, we're excited. And timing-wise, too, you know, our partners at the Fire Center, they obviously operate under a federal fiscal year. And so, you know, the money that they have to put towards this lease, that's money that is in this fiscal year, and so they really need to get this ground lease complete before the end of the fiscal year, and that's why we got as much done as we could and then came to you now to say, hey, from a staff perspective, we're feeling comfortable, Dan feels comfortable, he has blessed all of this, and we feel confident, and this document will come and report back to you and come back and ask you to modify the lease as all the details are matured.
And if you built this new tank, you're basically really building and keeping in mind the future of what this place could be. So, in terms of ways things could potentially connect together and utilities and support and infrastructure. So, we're trying to think long term, big box
mm-hmm.
on some of the stuff just to help us to move back and deal with stormwater later, maybe. Like that, where we have some things kind of in place now.
Any other questions?
I have a quick question, I guess, for Sarah. On this prepayment, do we recognize that all this year, or do we have to amortize it?
No, yeah. It's recognized as a liability, which is basically in the form of deferred revenue. And so then each year, Angela and I have kind of put together an escalating rent payment schedule to go with this, since this is so far out, we're really tying this to that other lease term. So we'll recognize rent incrementally along the way. We have it as a liability right now, because that way, if there's a different location or something else, what we would end up doing is prorating and paying back the portion that we haven't earned yet. So that will modify, and that's similar to what we've done with their other leases as well. So, good question.
Anything else? What do you think for being here?
Absolutely. Appreciate it. I got to go to the fire.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Go to
another
fire, so sorry.
Okay.
No,
please
don't.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you.
Call for anything ever. Okay.
Thank you, Tommy. So with that, we need to take action on action item A. May I get a motion for this?
Sure. I move that we authorize the chief executive officer to negotiate and finalize the terms of a ground lease with the Bureau of Land Management in substantially the form presented, pending approval from the FAA, and sign the lease.
Thank you, Commissioner Feynman. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for your work and working with your partners to make that a possibility. Okay, we have now our grant agreement AIP, and it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to talk about 85, 86, and 87 together and then vote separately on them. Okay, wonderful. Exciting news. Let's look at it. Colin, do we have this one for him? All right, Colin.
Hi, I
we
think
can
so.
Hear you.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
All right. It's exciting. Well, hey, I understand we have a new commissioner. My name is Colin Bible. I'm with Garver. I serve as a program manager for the airport. Also on the line are the designers for this runway program. Jeremy Lee is the primary person there, but Brad Rolf is also online as well. Let him say hi. Yep, hello everybody. Good to be joining you.
Yeah, well, good afternoon.
I thought it made sense to table set a little bit as well. And as Lindy mentioned, I'm kind of table setting for items B through E in this. So right now, the airport, as you're probably very well aware, is under a major runway relocation program that is currently tentatively planned to be completed funded by 2030. at a total cost of $200 million-ish dollars. Really big, important program. But really, it's pretty simple in what we talk about in these meetings. Really, it is a new runway shown in red, and the existing runway, which is located in the orange area, is going to be converted to a future parallel taxiway. So, as I mentioned, it's been ongoing for a while, actually since 2017, and this bar chart at the bottom is up to date, and we are currently in the Cyan area, and we started funding that portion of the work in 2024, so last year. And that's really the red. It corresponds with the red above. It is building the pavement section for the future runway. And we call that the paving and nav aid coordination part of the project. If you will advance to the next slide. So when we're talking about the new runway, we're really talking about two parts. We throw these terms around a lot, and you'll hear it in future board meetings. There's the sub-base package, which is basically the underlying work shown in green. And that is, it's what it sounds like. It is underneath the pavement section, but it's substantial and expensive. And that's going to be funded in last year and then this year. And then there's also the asphalt surface and the base and the lighting that goes on top. And that's scheduled to be funded over the next 3 years in 26, 27, and 28. So at a high level, that's where we're headed. And the first three grants, which we actually have grant offers from the FAA, and what we'll vote on independently, and walk through these in more detail in a moment, are these three grants. So the first, AIP 85, is for the remaining construction of the subbase. So last year we began the subbase package with the grants that we received, and this AIP 85 will finish that work out. AIP 86 is actually relates to a design reimbursement. So the airport self-funded some design, really set all of this up so that we could catch additional funding in 2023. And this is the last portion of that reimbursement. And then finally, AIP 87 is a reimbursable agreement with the FAA for their design for the navigational aid work. So when we're all done, this runway will have brand new navigational equipment for pilots to use. It'll have new approaches, and the FAA has a role in that, and that is helping design and procure their portion of that work and also help with the procedures. And this is the portion of work that will be used to pay for that. And again, we'll dive into all these in more detail, but wanted to give a little bit of a general flow of how these fit together. And then, so those are the three grants that we have in front of us today. Item E is actually for basically the rest of this program. And there's a few other items that we'll talk about later as well, but as soon as this work's done in future years, currently shown in future years, there is additional pavement design that will need to be reimbursed that was funded by the airport in March. There's the funding of what was shown in blue, that surface, to construct that. There's the actual building of the navigational equipment. And then finally, there is the conversion of the existing runway to a new taxiway. So all that's still in front of us, as we looked at on that bar chart earlier. But we have worked with the FAA this year to put in a grant request that would essentially fund all the rest of this work. We think it's highly unlikely, and we'll talk about that later, that we get anywhere near that amount of money. But there is a lot of turmoil going on right now in Washington, and from discussions with the FAA, it was basically we requested to put in a large grant request so that they could give us any amount of money that they had available at the end of the year, and we want to be well positioned to capture that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my intro. As Commissioner Marshall said, we want to walk through these one by one and let people vote. So before I move on, any questions at a high level before we dive in?
Commissioner Hyman has a question.
Yes, hi, Colin. Thank you for this presentation. I see the timeline. Where are we on the money line?
I'm not showing you the money line in these slides. I could probably find something to share with that. High level, this schedule, is in alignment with what the FAA believes they will get us. Thanks for dialing it back to this one. This is what we've been communicating with the FAA to have all of the runway pavement funded by 2028. This is a funding schedule, I should have said that. So funded by 2028, and then the conversion of the runway in 2029 and 2030 is how that's intended to be funded. So we've been showing the FAA that for the last four or five years now, and they have every time said, yes, we agree, that's the schedule. It depends. That's a little bit of a hard question because we are asking for...
Yeah, I guess maybe I can clarify. We're putting in this last item to, you know, how much is that request for to finish it out?
Yeah, I was looking for this.
Understood. Yes, we are showing our ask was for $105 million.
So about halfway.
That's what. Could you? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. So we're with these approval of these, we're about halfway through the $200 million program.
Correct. Yes, sir.
I mean, I think just a little bit of context for that. We think right now that $105 million is if we got all the funding today, and so we could bid it out and complete the work in the most efficient manner from a cost and operational perspective, we think $105 million would get us there if we got it today. Mm-hmm. That means that this plan, we have more than $105 million to go as planned. So I want to make sure I clarify because we don't think that we're halfway through the project costs yet because of the plan we have that with the FAA to stretch the project over so many years. The way that you gain efficiencies is really making the project shorter so that you know you have those economies of scale for the contractors, including our design team, and we can just bid out the work in such a way that you attract really competitive bids from a national perspective. But I wanted to add that context because we don't think that this plan is not $105 million remaining. I feel confident because there's no cost escalation in that $105 million. The $105 million is if we got it today, we could just, the design team could get to work to say, hey, let's get everything under contract as soon as possible to get this work done as fast as possible.
So if I can just follow.
Can you wait a second? Just for, if you're following along, it's on page 185 of our board packet, so you can check on. So please go ahead.
So with regards to keeping the funding coming more quickly, becoming a cost savings, if we complete the scope of work under the $200 million, are we eligible to do something else with the rest of the money that we scheduled for this?
No. So the FAA has no obligation to give us this grant funding. They just have plans. Most funding we're getting is considered discretionary funding, which, like the word implies, they get to use their discretion to allocate out. We do have about $2.5 million a year in entitlement funding that we use towards this, but they have no obligation to this program, but they also want to get to as many projects as possible. There's so many needs at Air Force, and so they're highly interested in getting projects done in the most cost-efficient way that they're able to. It just it's hard for an airport our size for the FAA to plan on giving us just giant grants because there's only so much funding each year, so they try to spread it out across smaller projects. That's why this giant program has been diced up into a bunch of projects. I will add that, you know, because we've been able to get some extra grant funding above and beyond the plan, that's how we've gone from an opening date that we were hoping would be 2030 to feeling fairly confident that we should be able to open in 2029. And so shaving years off shaves money off too.
Yeah, thank you. Those are great questions. And even though, you know, these monies are discretionary and FAA has no obligation, they've committed to this project because it is such a big project. And you see that in the partnership and the conversations and the money that we continue to get in early and over what we ask. So we're grateful for that good partnership. And that's in part because of Jeremy and Brad and Colin's relationship, communicating proactively and planning and designing ahead of time. So we're lucky to be in that position, but it's a lot of hard work. So, great questions, Lee. Any other questions?
Just one kind of question that these question prompted is, as far as I see the segmentation between the different monies on different parts of the project and how they're broken down, and part of that is the had some conversation about the modernization, modern ways of a tower, if that tower, like, if we're modernizing that tower, or if it's really just about technologies and cameras. I know there have been conversations about moving at one point. Does this play into that, or is this, I don't want to rabbit trail that conversation, but within this grant, within this summary, are we tying ourselves into spending that money in a specific way on the tower, or do we have flexibility to where we can work it into the plan that we've been talking about?
So that's a really good question, and that is tied in, you know, that money is already had a specific scope because we had to apply for that grant funding. So last year we applied for some discretionary funding that's only for towers like ours, which is they're airport owned and then they're operated by federal contractors. There was a specific bucket of money for that, and so we applied for that. And specifically, it's to really complete the most urgent repairs needed in the cab of the tower for the controllers. So that $1.3 million, that's 100% funding too. We have no match that's required. Now that, you know, a year has gone by and we've been working on the design and, you know, we have the design and bids, it looks like it'll be a little bit more than 1.3, so we will put a little bit of money in that. But kind of to come full circle to answer your question in a couple of ways. First, this money has to be used for that specific purpose of replacing the HVAC, the roof, and adding a hatch in the cab of the tower. Second, you know, that is part of a multi-phase plan that we put together that we continue to apply for funding towards to modernize that tower to extend the life by 20 years. And so it's about a $10 million plan in total. Again, if we get $1 million a year, it's going to be more than $10 million in total. But right now, if we can get funding fairly quickly, we think about $10 million. And that's to buy time so that we don't have to relocate that tower. On our airport layout plan, which is our official FAA-approved layout plan, you actually see a dot on the map up in the northeast corner where we show a relocated tower. The FAA is not paying to build relocated towers. And that project, we estimate, is, you know, north of $60 million. So even if the FAA was willing to give us $60 million, I'm not sure that's what we'd want them to spend it on. And so that's why we said, you know what, time out. The technology has not progressed as quickly as we had hoped. We clearly are going to need to maintain a physical tower for a while longer, and we like that safety enhancement too. We need to protect the integrity of the tower we have, so we need to just as quickly as possible address this this maintenance issue we've had. So, does that answer your question?
Very much.
I will end with that project. If it feels slow, we are annoyed that it's slow too. It's been hung up in some environmental review, and so we just don't have environmental approval yet, and so then the FAA can't actually issue the grant, but that one's already been announced. So that is a grant that we expect anytime. The FAA just needs final environmental clearance.
Yeah. I'm sure the gentleman up on the top of that tower will appreciate some air conditioning too.
Yeah.
We're coming. Tell them we're coming. Any other questions for Angela or the team or Colin? So it looks like up is a vote. Am I wrong about that? Are we ready to vote, Colin?
No, I'm. If it's okay, what I'll do is I will dive into each one of these quickly and give a little more context. So this is the first one up is action item B, which is for grant 85. And it's really just that final section of the sub-base work. So the total remaining cost, a little bit of background is there was one large construction contract bid last year. We got really great bids. We also captured a lot of end-of-year money because we were able to set them up to give us all their additional money last year. And so what's remaining is still this $12.2 million. And they are giving us a grant offer of 11.6, basically, I'm rounding, to cover 95% of the remaining eligible costs. If you will advance to the next slide, I like graphics. Essentially,
Colin,
this is the entire footprint.
I'm just going to jump in really quick for Dan. Well, and our new Commissioner Quint here, too. Typically, it's a 90% Matt, and we get 95% this year for some wonderful reason. So just to call that out.
No, great ad. That's accurate. It's always been 90 that I can remember in my whole career other than this 2-year period where it's 95. So it's an next year a great year to get a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So, so last year we received grants for what I've shaded in gray, which was 82 and 83, very large grants. And this grant, AIT 85, covers the blue section that's remaining of that work. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. Are you going to roll through all of them, Colin, and then we'll go after this?
We can do it however
you want. I don't know, am I allowed?
I sort of set it up so it would be each one individually after that overview, but I can scroll ahead if you guys want to hear the details of each.
No, I'd love just to vote as we go. If you guys are okay with that, let's go ahead and vote on the AIP 85, which is, did I know about that? No, actually, item B, excuse me, AIP 85. So I'll take a motion for that, sub A Schedule 2.
Read it out?
Yeah, would you?
I will put forth a motion to accept FAA AIP grant offer number 3-08-0027-085-2025 in the amount of $11,593,096 for the first sub-base Schedule 2, Phase 2 construction related to the runway replacement program and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to sign the co-sponsorship agreements with the City of Grand Junction and Mesa County.
Thank you, Commissioner West. Can I have a second?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries.
Excellent. Next up is action item C for grant 86. So this grant is the final reimbursement for some design that was completed in 2023. So in 2023, we came to the board and asked for design for Mead and Hunt and program management fees for Garber to set in motion a design really for that whole sub-base package that we just talked about in the last action. And what happened from that is we were able to design it all the way out, bid it all at once, and get really great bids, as I mentioned before. So that was a proactive action by the airport board to fund that in advance of a grant, and part of that has already been reimbursed. This is the remaining portion of that has not been reimbursed yet. So the remaining portion is around $711,000, and this grant offer is for roughly $675,000 to cover 95% of the eligible cost of that. And again, to Commissioner Marshall's point, you get an extra 5% by funding it instead of the normal 90%. So it was a benefit in a way to wait.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Colin, do you have an additional slide on this one before I jump ahead?
I do not.
Okay, wonderful. There are no questions. I will take a motion for AIP grant number 86.
I can do this one, Wendy.
Okay, thanks.
I move we accept FAA AIP grant offer number 3-08-0027-086-2025 in the amount of $675,458 for the runway design associated with the sub-base construction, and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to sign the co-sponsorship agreements with the City of Grand Junction and Mesa County.
Wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Scherer. Can I get a second?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Wonderful. The motion carries.
Action item D for grant 87 is for the reimbursable agreement to the FAA for their NAVAID relocation design. So this work, the actual navigational equipment won't be installed for several years, at least 2028. That's the latest schedule, is 2028. However, the design for that work has to start a really long time in advance. There's a lot of really technical modeling that they do, including flight procedures that set everything up for a seamless transition when that time comes. So this is really for their design work. So it's a little unusual for those of you that haven't seen this before. It is actually a different division of the FAA that does that modeling. So the way this works is the airport funds funds the work directly with that separate division, and then the normal FAA that we talk about all the time will give grants to actually reimburse that. That's why it's called a reimbursable agreement. So the net effect is it's still 95% covered in this case by the federal government. It's just a little bit more clunky procedurally than what you're used to seeing. So this grant is for $188,000 more or less for that work, for the 95%.
In terms of order of operation, I'm just curious, what does it look like? Does it look like nav aids relocated and then the taxiway on 1129? How does that, yes, okay, and then we open.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we currently, on the existing runway, we're going to leave all that navigational equipment in place until it's time for the switchover. So the FAA, this group that we're talking about, the NavAids group, is going to come in and install new equipment located on the new runway, and it just won't be ready. They won't turn it on, and they won't initiate the flight procedures until an agreed-upon date. So we have a meeting once a month where a large group of us are on the line with that group talking about that date and everything that happens leading up to that date. So in a perfect world, and the way we are planning on it going, is it's pretty seamless. It's, you know, one day, you know, it's the existing runway. It's going to get used up until the last day, and then it switches over, and they land on the new runway, and it's the same day they publish all the new flight procedures. So it's new equipment. It keeps everything operational until the switchover.
Uh-huh. Any other questions? Yeah.
Thank you, Colin. I have a question about the dates on the completion of the runway, which are compressing that schedule. You sound like it's pretty hard. Like right now we're talking 2029. Say we get a lot of this money, starts compressing the schedule. You sounded pretty solid on the 2028 date for this nav aid. Are they going to help work with us? Because I certainly would hate to have a beautiful runway sitting out there waiting on installation of some equipment.
So I will say it. I'll say it as well as I can. There are a lot of competing interests for the money that we need to finish this work, as I think Angela alluded to earlier. The current schedule that we're on shows the runway to be funded in 2028, which, to your point, I think that's a good observation, would not allow the completion of that work to happen until 2029. So if we got grants in 28, the runway wouldn't get completed until 29, and I think that's the date Angela said earlier. We also have been pushing the NavAids group for a date in 2028. And the reason for that is there's a lot of things that can disrupt their flow and make things not go as quickly on their end. And what we don't want is to be delayed because we don't have NavAids. So we've also, though, went back to the ADO that provides the funding, and we've made that really clear. And actually, in some previous board meetings, I think I showed you a graph that showed a really big spike in 2027 in funding. And the reason for that is what we need to stay on that 2028 schedule. So I want to stop short of setting expectations that we're going to have it open in 28, but that is what we're internally communicating to the NavAids group and to the ADO who brings us funding, is that's our goal that we want to hit. Now, they have only really agreed to that 29, although part of the reason for this next action item of trying to get any end of year money is that is them trying to help fill that gap and make up that difference so we can open in 2028. Angela or Jeremy, either one, did that leave anything out in that explanation?
I think you did a really good job. So what, you know, in summary, we've chosen a target date to work with our giant and broad tech ops team on. That's actually a year earlier than what all the other schedules show as a 2029 opening date, because that way we have flexibility to pull that date up. And maybe we'd be able to pull it up even further if we were to get a whole bunch of funding and there was a chance we could open the runway earlier. I mean, when we start talking 2027, 2028, and that is just not very far away. And so that is kind of best case scenario when the runway could open is kind of 2028. And if there's a way we could get it open earlier, we'd want to, but that's shaving years off pretty close in. And so, I don't know, I've thought of it as kind of this hedge where is just fine pushing things back typically on a schedule basis. It's harder to get them to pull things up, so we've just started keeping them close. And then if there's extra cushion, because 2029 is that final opening date, we'll just slide things back. Also, I mean, a lot of the work, as Colin alluded to, a lot of the work can be done in advance. So we'd love to just have it all set up. And then the only thing we're pushing back is really that activation to cut over to the new runway. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very much.
We don't want to wait on that base either.
I also think yeah, we're adding
it's
to...
A,
oh, go ahead, Colin.
No, I was just going to say that's a really like that's a very good question though. It's it cuts to the heart of one of our biggest challenges right now is trying to reconcile those things and make sure they all sync up and they're in alignment. And I think we're making good progress. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. The only other thing I was going to add to is I think this is another one where actually the board approved that agreement between us and the FAA, and we've already funded that in January too. And we appreciate you guys' support in that and. You know, trusting this process that these grants will come after the fact where we're funding things that are reimbursable through our entitlements, so we can do the work now and get reimbursed later. So we've really been thoughtful in pre-authorizing and pre-funding where we can to keep it on the fastest track possible. So I just wanted to add that point in there for some of our new members. So.
Jeremy, did you have anything to add? You're muted if you're talking.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I think it's all been very well said. The getting the resources planned with the FAA staffing is the goal here, and I think being ahead on that RA was the opportunity the board took earlier this year. And this is, you know, this is the recovery of that funding. But we have the commitment of the team. We're having, you know, beyond the monthly meetings, we're starting design meetings and very excited to have them on board so far ahead of our actual plan delivery so that we're ready when an additional funds come through.
Just another example of you all thinking of what's down the road and getting ahead of it, and we really appreciate it. And I know you've already worked with that NAVA team once when we did the relocation, and so this is not a foreign or new process to you, so thank you for getting ahead of that because it is complicated and slow. Any other questions on that? Okay. I would take a motion for Grant Agreement AIP 87 to shift the runway NAVA design.
I'll do this one. I move to accept FAA AIP grant offer number 3080027087 2025 in the amount of $187,920 for a reimbursable agreement for FAA work on the navigation aids related to the runway replacement program. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer to sign co-sponsorship agreements with the City of Grand Junction and Mesa County.
I was just thinking how proud our legal counsel must be right now with these great motions.
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Wonderful. The motion carries. Paul, do you have any further?
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
I do. Sorry.
I appreciate it.
Really, this last. Last item is item E, the pre-authorized acceptance of the rest of the grants that come in, are expected to potentially come in this year. The reason it's a pre-authorization is we do not have those grant offers yet, but we expect to, and this time of year, as many of you that have been to this before might remember, they come quickly, they need a quick turnaround, and this pre-authorization allows it basically everyone to move quickly without a formal meeting to need to be called. So again, I want to reiterate, I think there's very little chance that we hit almost $111 million, probably zero chance, but I think it's an undetermined amount of money. And so I think we want to be positioned to capture as much of that as possible. So really, in my mind, this breaks into two buckets. The first two bullets, sub-bullets there with the runway 1230 and the remaining runway 1230 relocation, that 3.5 and 1.105, those two numbers are very much an ask that represent give us what's left. And we've talked to the FAA, we went and met them at their office in Denver, and we talked about this. This is very much give us anything that's left, that's our ask to you, and that's what I think they're going to try to do. Now, I don't think it'll be these numbers, just to reiterate. The next two sub-bullets, level, it's the interior hold room refresh and the air traffic control tower improvements. Those are real grants. Those are anticipated to have an offer very soon. We just don't know exactly when and what that turnaround would be, so that's why they're on the same list with this pre-approval. I'm trying to think if there's anything else here that's worth. I think the only big difference is the AIP bill grant, and bill grants are 95% eligible, and the ATC, the tower grant, is 100% eligible at that $1.3 million. So I think the last bit here is this is a huge amount of money, and that can look scary. The total obligation here, maximum, is a little bit less than 5.7. If we, by some miracle, got all of this money, that's how much would be responsible by the airport, is the 5.67 below. Any questions? This is a big, big item. So any questions on this?
Yeah, I do have a question. There's a discrepancy in our packet on the air traffic control tower. So I just want to clarify, there's either 1.5 million or 1.3 with no required match. So the 1.5 is with the match. Help me understand that.
So the 1.5 million is our current cost estimate.
Thank you.
As I was mentioning. So we don't have a required match, but we do expect that we're going to have a little bit of airport cash to be put towards that project,
thank
just
you.
Because 1.3 million doesn't quite cover it all.
Thank you. And it's 100%. Thank you for that.
So yeah, that 1.5 was actually in the SCI task order that was approved at the July meeting based on that current estimate. But this was a weird one. It doesn't really fit into that 95% funding. It's 100% of up to 1.3, but the project is anticipated a little bit more. So.
Thank you for that reminder. Anything else? Okay. I think this one is pretty straightforward. May I get a motion? I don't think that we need to. Well, I think we probably should call it. In this motion, may I have someone read the entire item E?
Madam Chair, I move to authorize the Board Chair to accept FAA AIP grant awards for anticipated project grants for the 1230 runway relocation project, interior refresh, and tower improvements, consistent with prior grant applications approved by the Board, and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to sign the corresponding co-sponsorship agreements with the City of Grand Junction and Mesa County.
Thank you. May I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Scheer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Colin, for those robust presentations. They're always really helpful. All right, on to staff reports. It looks like, Angela, we have your report listed first.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming out yesterday to celebrate those who were able to make it. I know short notice, right in the middle of the day, kind of hot. I was joking, it's either fire or ice. Or, that event we had for Western's groundbreaking was freezing cold, and so that's, I think, could have cooked eggs on the pavement. But thank you, and thanks for recognizing our partners today. That's really special for us because they really have gone above and beyond. I mean, to paint a picture, when we have diversions, I mean, Westar, those leaders that you saw today, those are the people who come back out to the airport to help with things, their staff, you know, they're there to fuel, to provide stairs, to, you know, oftentimes just stand on the ramp as passengers, to watch passengers as they're going into the terminal, if their crew time's out, so they're just really important partners. So thank you for recognizing them. And yesterday I got way more credit than I deserve. I mean, you guys know we have a great team, and you know, I especially want to recognize leaders in this room and on this call, because that is why we're as successful as we are. And July in particular, I mean, really just this summer has been extra busy. I jokingly refer to it as the airport game of Jumanji, and it was just like a really busy phase of it. I mean, for you, they're just elephants running in, and we're hoping for a boring month to catch up. But I especially wanted to recognize Dylan and Ben, because they have been out here so much, they and their teams. I mean, if between HVAC issues in our tower, which, you know, we just can't address fast enough through that project, right? The cab, that tower gets so hot, it's just such a greenhouse. It's a super important safety enhancement. I mean, we love how much we have going on in our airport. The construction project, all the BLM activity, all the commercial activity, all the flight school. It's really nice to have a tower to make sure that the aircraft operations are as safe as possible, and having a person who can see our airfield for those pilots to talk to is just such an important enhancement. So I wanted to recognize Ben. Ben and Dylan because they have just gone way above and beyond. And we appreciate so much their dedication and really exemplifying our values. So thank you. July is also our big inspection month when it comes to our main regulators. So both the TSA inspection and our FAA Part 139 cert inspection. That's so Part 139 certificate is what allows us to have commercial activity. So that's our big inspection out in the airfield. Both of those were in July. TSA one lasted all day in August. Lucky for Dylan. But I'm happy to report that both went really well. And, you know, we have maintained a very high level of compliance, you know, because we have it in our goals that, you know, maintaining a high level of compliance while we're doing all this other stuff, it's a really important goal, and it because it's sometimes a competing goal. Everything else is going on, but that one's not optional. We know that the community is counting on us for that and all of our partners. So just wanted to recognize that. Air service, I don't have slides today because I thought we'd probably be short on time. I'll give a more robust air service update soon, but I want the board to know. You saw in your packet, first half of the year, things look good. They're above budget, not way above budget, but above budget from a passenger traffic perspective. The second half of the year, we're seeing more growth in our capacity and in the schedules than we saw in the first half, and so we're really excited about that. So we're hopeful that we'll achieve our air service goals that we have this year, our passenger traffic goals, but things are looking really good. Next month, I'll make a couple of trips for air service development purposes, and actually one of them, I think the city manager will be joining us, and one of the directors from the Air Service Alliance, just so that they can go and kind of see how this works. So we'll be headed to New Hampshire to meet with a bunch of airlines. Essentially how this goes is you either go meet with one airline at their headquarters, which I'll be going and doing that with Breeze also, or a few airports and airlines all agree to meet in the same place and get together and have some conversations. So that's what we'll be doing. I'm also happy to report that it took me 8 years, but for the first time ever, we sent all the airline headquarters pages. So I am not someone who's best at like checking all the boxes, so I'm feeling very excited about this. I want you to know that the airline should be pretty happy. Now, I had to write in the note to Delta that they'll have to let us know how fresh Palisade beaches compared to fresh Georgia beaches.
Palisade is better, don't we all agree?
I've never had a fresh Georgia beach, so I just want to hear their perspective. Last, NREL, so the National Renewable Energy Lab, I think I got that right anyway. So CDOT partnered with NREL. NREL is in Boulder. And they completed a study on electrification of aircraft and what it means for airports in Colorado. And they used Grand Junction as one of the example airports. I think they used three. And so those, we expect that report to come out in the next month or so. And Davey Lane, the CDOT aeronautics director, has agreed to present it to the board. Electricity is magic to me, and so that just feels especially out of my wheelhouse. I don't want to be presenting it. It's really important. When we talk about electrification of aircraft, it's exciting in a lot of ways, and from a facility perspective, it's also, you know, kind of makes us sit up straight and think, okay, what do you need us to do to get ready for these? So that's really what the study is focused on. So we're excited to see that. I just want the board to know that that is forthcoming. We'll try to find the right board meeting for Dave to present to the board.
Hopefully exciting to learn about. Okay. Any questions for Angela?
I do. On these diversions, how do we get paid?
Oh, good question.
I asked this in executive.
I really appreciate that Lee has so many finance questions today of the day that he's no longer going to be
I love it.
You don't have that venue anymore. So that's a really good question. So in general, I mean, all the airlines, when they land, they pay a landing fee. So that's how we charge them. When they take off, we don't charge a fee. And so, you know, we typically talk in one direction when we're talking about airlines and how we charge. So when they land, they pay a landing fee based on the size of the aircraft. So it's in 1,000 pounds of landed weight, and it's per aircraft size. And so that's how we charge all airlines. If it's scheduled service from one of our carriers who has a signed lease, signatory lease agreement with us, they pay that very lowest rate. If they don't have a signed signatory lease with us, but it's still scheduled service because airlines are not required to have long-term commitments with the airport, then they pay that non-signatory rate. And the difference, the non-signatory rate for any fee we charge at the airport is always at least 20% more than the signatory rate. So the signatory carriers have that favorable rate. Now, in the case of diversions, we added a third type of rate a couple of years ago, and that is for airlines without scheduled service, airlines who don't operate here at all on a scheduled basis, because the lift can be so much higher when they divert here. So like then if Frontier, I'll use one of Dylan's favorites, if Frontier diverts here, right, they don't have any Frontier staff to work with. And so we charge them a much higher landing fee. So all the charges still come through landing fees. Now we financially benefit in other ways though. Those are the direct costs that we charge them. Now, if all they do is sit and wait out a thunderstorm in Denver on our ramp, they typically get fuel spill. And so WestJet is going to fuel them. The airlines do not pay a fuel flowage fee because they pay a landing fee instead, but they still pay fuel tax. And so we get that remitted back to us. It's on a delay, but we get that fuel tax benefit. And then if they deplane, those passengers come in the terminal, they buy every scrap of food that the concessions have, and we get a portion of those revenues. If ultimately they need to delay getting that flight rebooked until the next day, they're going to go and stay at hotels. Oftentimes they'll rent rental cars and just drive them to Denver. So that's the direct way we get paid, and then there's all this ancillary revenue that can come along with it.
What about PFCs?
PFCs are... We don't usually get PFCs because PFCs, you need to, PFCs are when you're boarding flights, if that makes sense. So like landing fees we charge when they land, PFCs you get charged when you're coming through TSA is the best way to get, think about it, and on that route. And so they didn't depart from here on a scheduled basis typically. So every once in a while things will get rescheduled in such a way to where they actually, if they get all the way rebooked and it's the next day, we might get PFC revenue, but typically there's no PFC impact.
Offload here and use our terminal.
Yes.
We might like scrape up 10% of the PFC from whatever is out there.
No, so the PFCs are highly regulated.
Okay.
And so even like you go on a if you have multiple connections, eventually you stop paying the PFC in general. Like if it's your third connection, you usually reach that maximum amount of PFC that can be collected from one passenger. And so no, the PFCs PFCs is not how we get paid. Along that same line, when we talk about those grants that we're entitled to from the FAA, and when those are based on passenger traffic, diversions are rarely included in any of those numbers either. So, for example, like Aspen, even though the planes come here, they were scheduled to go there, the flight still operated, it just got diverted to our airport, they still get the entitlement revenue for their FAA grants. Yeah.
Not very helpful. I asked the same questions in the budget committee. So I was like, all right, remind me all of how this all works, especially with the fires. So, any other questions for Angela? Wonderful. Ms. Sarah, you are up with our finance report.
Absolutely. I went ahead and copied over our same title and added months again. And I think at this point it's been so many in a row that we've had this year-over-year employment growth, we might be off by one or two, but. We're going on a year and a half basically now of just year-over-year growth in the number of people that are departing from our airport. So maintaining those strong load factors, and that's really driven still by that United service, although I think Delta was up 75 and Breeze is over 70 as well for an ultra-low-cost carrier with new service. That's really exciting. So. And then just a couple of snapshots from what was in your packet. Overall, total operating revenue were over budget by $171,000. The majority of that is really coming in the non-aeronautical revenue of parking. And really, June was up because we just implemented that new rate change, but really the beginning half of the year, I think it's just more that we have more local traffic versus visitor. You see a little bit of that movement. We've talked about that between rental car and parking, but both of those are performing well, so we really didn't see any dip in parking activity, which we were excited about because, we weren't sure when we raised rates if we would lose some of that, but that's remaining strong in June. And then You do see on that top line, that passenger airline revenue, the 27,000 budget variance. Almost all of that was really related to those June diversions that we were just talking about. So those landing fees from those airplanes that came in, the commercial diversions, that's where that money is flowing. Non-aeronautical revenue is still behind that 122,000, and really those are kind of the components of non-passenger landing fees. The cargo operations have been a little bit slower, the number of FedEx landings, than what we had predicted in budget. And then the fire activity, when we did budget, we kind of straight-lined that throughout the year, but really there's that ramp up in the summer. So we expect we'll catch up on pretty much that entire deficit that we've had with the activity that we had in July. So June was kind of where that started. And then the other two pieces in there are fuel flowage fees and the fuel tax. The fuel tax is on that delay, as Angela mentioned, so we'll see an increase in that ramp up from both the diversions and the fire activity. And that flowage fee is paid by our GA and the fire activity as well. So we anticipate those will all kind of start to catch up in July. It feels a little bit weird with timing as we're talking about it and when it all happened, but I anticipate that kind of red in our aeronautical activity will really catch up this next month. Any other questions on kind of anything from your packet or operating revenues or expenses?
Will you remind me that lump sum payment with fuel tax, is it quarterly? Is it annually?
It is monthly, but
okay.
It's about a two-month delay,
okay.
Just depending. We've really always recognized that on a cash basis because everyone in the state, all of those fuel tax revenues get collected by the Division of Aeronautics, and then they turn around and redistribute it proportionately to where it's sold. So very difficult for us with the movement in taxes, in prices for what is being taxed on. And then just that total collection, it's been very hard to just predict. So we've always recognized that one on a cash basis. I think that looked especially unusual in June because we only received about $3,700. And really that's just due to that delay. So that will get trued up. That's a great question. And then I just wanted to do a quick snapshot too for our statement of position for those current assets and current liabilities. The big change here is we did get that funding and received the $6.5 million in our SIB loan that was approved. That is currently sitting in escrow. Jennifer has been helping me. We're starting to draw that down. And I did want to point out, too, we saw our current ratio drop from 4 to 3. And remember, that is the measurement of how many times we can pay for our liabilities that are due within a year with our liquid assets. So a larger number is better. But part of that drop is a little bit misleading. Our accounts payable on those capital accounts really are amounts due to the contractors for the projects. Some of that's just due to the timing of when we're cashing those checks. And then I say it's a little bit misleading because that restricted cash and part of that SIB loan can go to pay for those. So it's a little bit of a mismatch, but I didn't go through the mental gymnastics of moving that all around for 1 month, especially since we still have that very strong current position right now. So no issues with cash flow and liquidity, even though we have been able to pre-fund some of these projects right now that we just approved those grants for. So just wanted to highlight that in case that was a question in anyone's mind. But that was kind of the big movement in our balance sheet, if you will, for the month. And that was all I had, unless there's any other questions from the packet. And Lee, please feel free to reach out too.
Yeah.
So.
You can also ask a question if you have one. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate you. Project updates. Is it safe to assume that's you, Colin?
Yes. Hi again. So we spent a lot of time talking about all the exciting runway work, but there's a lot of other things happening at the airport. We are kicking off the terminal parking lot expansion. Next week is the first day of construction. As a reminder, this increases the total number of spots to 1,271, which will really hopefully help in time for Thanksgiving of this year when this project is expected to be open and ready. Long time in the making. It's all the way through all the permitting and ready to go. So we're excited to kick it off. Any questions?
We're getting lots of thumbs up and head nods in here.
One other thing, I know Commissioner Meyer, you may not know this. There's other projects in the terminal and tower. I've introduced myself and Mead and Hunt. Gensler is the architect of record that handles all the building projects. They were unable to be here today, but they didn't were nice enough to make these slides, so I'm going to do my best Rebecca impression for the remainder of these. There's four active projects. The passenger boarding bridge, the basement IT consolidation, the interior hold room refresh, and the terminal signage replacement. And then one project that's expected as soon as that grant is awarded. So we'll talk briefly through each one of these. The passenger boarding bridges, passenger boarding bridge gate 2 is completed and being used. I do understand that there was, after it was opened, there was an issue with the cooling system. That was a coding issue in the system. That's been corrected, and we're ready for 4 when that comes online very soon. If you would advance. On 8/27, that's the date that it is planning to arrive. They're planning on turning that over in mid-September, and then gate 4 will also be up and operational as well. Next up is the basement IT consolidation. That is on track. Here's some pictures of what it looks like down there. No one really goes down there, so this is, I mean, I think you're all invited if you want to go take a visit, but it's kind of a hidden part of the airport. But this work is planned on being completed in October. The interior hold room refresh, new carpeting, seating, counter refresh, all sorts of stuff. This is all planned to be completed before Thanksgiving. I'm doing a poor Rebecca job. She would make this sound more exciting than I am. I'm a schedule guy, so sorry.
I think you're doing a great job.
And then finally, the terminal signage replacement. This is really just replacing signage throughout the airport, and it's also planned to be completed by Thanksgiving as well.
And that signage replacement also includes, Angela, remind us, the sign on the roundabout as you enter the property. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great.
So, you know, actually, quick update on that. You know, we've had a couple of meetings with the signage team, and we are hoping that we'll have the interior signage done by the holidays. And so the schedule, obviously the work types are very different, the interior signage versus the signage of the roundabout. And so we haven't finalized the schedule for the roundabout signage yet, but we're focused on the interior first because that's where it's named from.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Those two.
Okay, great.
And then the final update is the air traffic control tower updates. We spoke about those a little bit earlier. That's HVAC, some mechanical, and some roofing updates. We are still waiting on some environmental clearance, but as soon as we get that, we're expecting a grant and we can begin work. We already went through the pricing exercises with FCI, and even were authorized last month to award that contract. So we're positioned, we're just waiting on that grant and the clearance to come through. One thing actually I realized I forgot to mention is on the parking, the solar parking.
Yeah.
We are still working on that canopy. It's our plan that's under design. We actually have a meeting after this to talk about, you know, the 60% design pricing. And then the plan is for that, to, as soon as that new parking lot is completed around the holidays, to begin that canopy in early 2026. So it doesn't clutter up the parking lot while that's being constructed.
Great. Any questions for Colin?
I do. On the canopy parking and that section where we're talking about creating free parking if it's less than 2 hours, whatever the number we voted on, I think I've asked twice about evaluating the possibility of putting that outside of the ticket area, and I've not really heard any response for that. In other words, so that if you're going to be in 2 hour parking, you don't have to pull a ticket at all. Did we evaluate that? And if we evaluated it, it doesn't work, great, but just let me know.
Can we go back to the slide that shows the parking?
How would we regulate?
So the reason why we haven't come back is because we're working, you know, we've been working diligently with our planners on the overall plan for flow through our parking lot with the expanded lot, with the new covered parking. And frankly, this is in preparation for us procuring a new parking management contract. So that's kind of how we're thinking through it. So we don't have an answer yet. We thought that was a good idea. you know, my initial reaction remains, it feels, logistically to me, it feels really hard to accomplish just given the current structure. And so I'm not overly optimistic we're going to be able to pull that off, but I do think it's a really good idea. So we haven't taken it off the table, but we're just not there yet. From a priority perspective, we kind of have to think and plan a lot in products first, and we're still planning that out. And so that's where that would be a cool extra product for us to offer if we can, but we just don't know yet because we don't have the other higher priority ones completely figured out.
Well, if it's in the mix, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so sorry.
I'm out there quite a bit, and making that lane one-way traffic would, I think, you could accommodate that.
That two-hour,
charge. Yeah, okay, so that, right now it's two-way on that, what is that, the north side of the parking lot.
Here's a good side that might actually.
But if you'll look at it, that'd be great.
Yeah. So what you're thinking is, I just want to clarify, as you drive in from the east to the west, the second drive-in, yes, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then blocking that and having it be a short-term parking drive-through option.
Correct.
No ticket.
Please. So no ticket if you're short-term parking that front row, which we're making that all short-term parking, right?
From what I understand, but I don't
this
know.
This front row is actually all handicap parking right now.
Okay.
So I think that's a little bit of the challenge, and again, we haven't gotten that far yet, but I think it would actually create a lot more rework with possibly these islands.
Okay.
There has been conversation, I think, zooming out a little bit more, too, about, like, cell phone waiting lot, which is where a lot of other airports would do something of, like, the free parking, which is maybe somewhere over here in some future planning developments. Again, not necessarily off the table, but I think another conversation we've had with product is if the covered parking is successful and we expand that, where we have these two entry lanes here, possibly one of these is you need to just go into covered so you don't have to go in and then go into another section and the other one would remain. So I think it's just trying to figure out what the landscape is that we have to work with and some of that as well. But yeah, this is actually handicap in the front and some of those short-term parking will have to convert to handicap because as we expand the total number of spaces, we'll have to convert a few for that ratio. Mm-hmm. So
good question.
Yeah.
You mentioned the cell phone parking lot, which I think those work great. And I couldn't see on the arrow as you moved around, like where are you talking about?
For can you zoom out? Because it's actually next to Motel 6 where the cell phone wait lot goes, Sarah.
Oh, sorry. It was one lot further over. So yeah, here's that motel.
The original map. Yeah.
And I think this is kind of.
Great. Yeah, I wanted to make sure, like, confirm that it wasn't in, that we weren't.
Sorry, I was too close.
In close. That's so precious, but it was really back and great.
And I think we're not at a point to fund or build that yet as far as just the size, but I think that's something we've just kind of considered with all of the parking products too, is busing, how do we move and, you know.
It gives us so much flexibility. I just think that it, for the available spaces that we have, it just lets us get more bang for a buck there, and that, you know, maybe we'll see less demand overall for those parking spaces, and I just think it's a great use.
If we went to a non-ticketed two-hour parking, who that would put the work on the airport. It would no longer be within the parking companies. And so how would that put extra work on us as the airport
by
doing that?
That's an interesting point. I mean, I think the parking contract's a contract, and so we can add that into the scope. But you know, we haven't sorted that out because right now we're trying to figure out how we can have these three parking products really that we envision, you know, more of that overflow lot, you know, having a lower price point eventually on that, having covered close-in product being the most premium product than the uncovered close-in parking, and being able to charge for that in the most user-friendly way. And so, you know, having nested lots is a little bit complicated, but there are ways to do it. And so really making sure that we're focused on those. And then kind of on our wish list is the best experience possible for those short-term parkers. But just given the revenue side of parking and how important it is to the airport, and that most of our customers and, are parking on a longer-term basis, our focus has been there with that one kind of sitting on that back burner to move forward as we optimize our main products.
And as we update that management contract, the technology will also be updated with that, and that will allow for the airport to use like real-time data and analytics to see how many two-hour parkers, and if they are free two-hour parkers, mm-hmm. they just drive in, drive out, no charge, like I do at, you know, Cherry Creek Mall. but I think that data and analytics will help inform, too, as we start to delineate products, how we move into those next phases as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that technology yeah. also could allow us to do ticketless with yes. plate readers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We do envision that we will have license plate readers. We expect that we will keep the ticketing system because just given our market, we're actually, you know, we're benchmarking to a lot of airports in Florida because when you look at the demographics of who live here, there's a lot of comparables. And so there's a good mix, though. Like, there really is a good mix. And so, but there are certain demographics that really want to pull a ticket, and so we want to make sure that we don't diminish the experience for those passengers by making them feel uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes it just makes people feel uncomfortable if they don't have the ticket. Sometimes it's the license plate reader technology. So we plan to do both.
Yeah.
Redundancy is also how you keep things working in an airport. That's right, we're going to add a second. Escalator as soon as possible. I want you guys to know that this thing was open for a long time. And then yesterday had an issue. I was like,
injuries at work, like the escalator's been up for this many days.
After this board meeting, I will take you into the office where we have the 6 hour
sign.
And I watched, we should record Ben's sad face when he has to erase and put zero. So. But anyway, like the redundancy piece is another element.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you bringing it up because what it tells me is I just haven't been talking about it because we're like in the work phase. Like we're just, you know, sleeves rolled up. I mean, Sarah and Dan have been meeting with the planners and then about this once a week for a long time so that we can bring all this to life.
And it affirms to me that you're in the right committee joining Vision, so I'm excited about that as well. These are a lot of questions we'll get to talk about in the Visioning Committee too, with these project updates. So. Colin, I think you've done a great job acting as Rebecca. We'll make sure that she hears that. And Colin offered a tour of the basement IT room for the new members of the board. I would encourage you to prioritize one, the runway expansion program with Jeremy mm-hmm. Lee first before you go to the basement.
I want to see the runway. I want to see the runway expansion.
Have you been out there either?
I have not been out there yet.
Okay. Jeremy has offered those tours. We've all had an opportunity to go out there. It's fascinating because you don't quite understand scale until you're out there next to those huge trucks, seeing the amount of dirt that's been moved and the size of those retention ponds. So Jeremy, I'm volunteering you for some more tours. Thumbs up. Okay. Is there any other business this afternoon before this? Okay. Wonderful. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So
perfect. Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much to you all for your afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, yeah.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about busy. The irony of the finance person listening to you where you're not.
Yeah,
we've got to go.
Oh, we have.